Hello, welcome back to a new episode of the Starting Inside Podcast. Nico Cameron joined with my usual two co-hosts, Mattia Segni and Spencer Shapiro. We're going to do just Champions League this episode, and we might do some of the leagues. We'll see what we have time, and we don't want to make it too long. But we'll definitely recap all the leagues if we don't get to them on the next episode, no question, because there's been a lot going on. But I think it's only fair to start with the Champions League. Of course, in the last episode, we touched on the European Super League, which has since then collapsed and and it's dead. So, you know, I guess it's a good thing. But I think there's only one way to start, and it has to be Real Madrid and Chelsea. 1-1, the final score in Madrid. Spencer, what are your thoughts? Pulisic got a goal, but what were your thoughts overall about the game?
I mean, I think from a Chelsea point of view, they missed a huge chance. I mean, they did come away with the away goals, so if they don't concede, they go through the Champions League final. But it's hard to imagine them playing better and Madrid playing worse than what happened in that game.
Yeah.
And if Timo Werner could stick the ball in the back of the net, they'd be the best team in the world, it seems like.
Yeah. I agree completely. I think Chelsea, it was a great performance, in my opinion, from Chelsea, especially in the first half. They were playing very well. And I think the scoreline, Chelsea really didn't take advantage of how much better they were playing and how Madrid came out, especially at the beginning of the game. And I think the scoreline could have been very different, especially, of course, we saw the Timo Werner miss. We've come to expect it from him now, sadly, but I think the scoreline could have been very different, and it's going to be an exciting second leg.
Yeah, and I think that Courtois save on Werner, you know, it wasn't a good shot. It was still a good save, though, to be fair. But it reminded me a lot of that second minute, whatever it was, save in Liverpool against Salah. I mean, those are two huge saves that kept Madrid in the game in both occasions. And as a Real Madrid fan, I'm so happy to get away with 1-1. The next leg, the only good thing I can see from this leg is that it can't get worse. It can't. It was horrible. I thought Zidane, as much praise as I've given him this year for his tactics, the five back did not work at all. I didn't like the formation. Marcelo had just a tragic, tragic game.
He's just too old, man. He's out of shape.
You know, he wasn't defending, and his attacking wasn't good either. And then, other than that one ball he had in for the goal that Varane headed it back into Benzema, which is a great goal, by the way, but from Benzema. He had a horrible game, and I thought Casemiro as well looked so lost. Was he playing CDM, CAM, center mid? I have no idea. Modric looked lost. Cruz couldn't pass. So it can't get any worse.
You have to give props to the Chelsea midfield because, Real Madrid this year, we've said it, has one of the best, if not the best midfield in the world. And, I mean, props to Conte, who won Man of the Match, and whoever else was with him. I think Jorginho was. They really managed to control the game really well. And unfortunately, the attack just messed up a lot of chances. A lot of balls that were played through to Werner that were just a little bit too long. And I think that's why Werner got frustrated throughout the game because he was being played on counterattacks. Pretty poor passes, except for that 1-1. But, I mean, props to the Chelsea midfield. They played very solid.
Yeah, and again, from Madrid perspective, it just can't be a worse performance in the second leg. There's no way they're going to go with the five back again. I would be shocked if that happened. Of course, they're going to get some players back, which is why I agree with you, Spencer, that Chelsea really missed an opportunity here. They should have had 3-4 goals, no question.
Yeah.
Every time they got the ball on the attack, they had numbers up. And it was just Varane and Militao against three guys running right at them. It should have been 3-4 goals. Madrid got lucky to get the 1-1. But, of course, now Madrid are going to go back to London, and they're going to have – most likely Ramos, Mendy, Valverde. Doesn't look like they're going to have Carvajal at right back. He got another injury. But, I mean, you add those three guys in, and that's just it's a completely different game. Even though Eder Militao has played amazing, Ramos, of course, is Sergio Ramos. But, look, what do you guys think? What do you think going to the second leg? Who do you have going through? What do you think the game is going to be like?
I think Madrid, as we said, is going to come out a very different team, especially with the players that they're going to have back. I think Ramos, you can only do so much from the stands and he's going to definitely have a huge impact. And I mean, I'd be surprised if Chelsea came out the same way, but at the same time, I think I still favor Chelsea. I think I'm going to favor Chelsea going through in this tie. I think they just, I like the way they came out in Madrid, and if they can do anything similar to that, keep Real Madrid somewhat out of the box and play defensively, be solid, which they've been able to do so far under Thomas Tuchel, I think they'll be able to get to the final. And if Werner can finish his freaking chances, yeah, then they definitely will be able to.
Spencer, you?
I think Madrid are going to go through. I don't think Chelsea are going to be able to produce as good of a game. I think Toni Kroos and Luka Modric will be more involved. And I just think Madrid will be able to get the first goal and hold on from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be super close. I think one possibility is 1-1 in Chelsea. It goes to penalties, which I think could very could happen. Has a very high chance of happening, but you know, kind of the way I see it, and we always try to be neutral. Of course, everyone that listens to the podcast knows we have our teams, and my team is Madrid. But I say this as neutral as possible when I say that I think Chelsea really missed out on the opportunity to bury this. It could, again, as I said, 3-4. Madrid cannot get worse. They're going to get players back. They won't play this five back. And so I think I do have to agree with you, Spencer. I think Madrid are going to be able to go through. And I really just think Chelsea missed out on an opportunity. You know, should have gone for the head type of scenario. You could have buried Madrid and they didn't. So, yeah, I'm going to keep with Madrid to go through. But I definitely could see penalties in the next leg. But, okay, let's shift over to kind of the bigger, the more exciting match in some yeah, sense. PSG Man City finishes 2-1 to City in Paris.
God.
PSG went up 1-0, Mattia, but they kind of fell apart in the second half. What are your thoughts?
So I have a couple things to say. I mean, first of all, you really have to give props to Man City, and I hate to do it because after watching this game, I've developed a deep hatred for Guardiola and every single player on Man City. But you have to give props for due, and the defense of Man City's defense is phenomenal. I mean, they've managed to lock down in the last two ties. Mbappe didn't have a single shot in that game. Haaland didn't score a single goal in two legs. And those are two world-class strikers. They're supposed to be the next Messi and Ronaldo, and they didn't even look like they were on the pitch against Man City. So props to them for that. But I think PSG came out very, very well first half. I think they dominated. They could have scored a couple more goals if they didn't squander some chances. Neymar is just out of this world, and I think he's proven to the world through that game, and people criticize him for the second half, but I think he was the only player on PSG that was trying to do something, that could do something, and he's proven that he's still top five, top something like that, bro. He's incredible. And I mean, Guardiola, Man City came out in the second half. It's like they reversed the rules, and PSG was afraid to attack. They sat down. They sat back when they shouldn't have, and two unfortunate goals, but Man City was still playing a much better game. And I don't know. I still think PSG can go through in the second leg because, of course, those are two very important away goals, but I believe that PSG can win by a margin of two. And if Mbappe plays just a little bit better than he did, then I think PSG will be able to go through. But very frustrating game for someone who's rooting for PSG, I think.
Spencer, how good is Ruben Diaz? Because, I mean, he put Mbappe in his pocket.
And Stones.
I'm honestly, I just wish PSG had capitalized on their chances in their first half. I mean, I think I made it. I think as a Liverpool fan, I definitely agree with Mateen, wanted PSG to go through, and I thought they were the better team for the first 70 minutes of that game. And then it all changed with that lucky De Bruyne goal.
I mean, I have to be honest in saying that, you know, you can leave Tottenham, but you can't take Tottenham out of a player, manager, whatever. Pochettino, I have no idea what he told his team at halftime, but it did not go well. I mean, I can't believe it. The first half, PSG, and we were talking about it during the game, you know, I was stunned because PSG looked amazing. They looked really, really good. They didn't, like, Man City were being beaten and dominated, and you hadn't seen that, you know, basically at all this season, other than right at the beginning. And it was incredible. And then they come out in the second half, and I'm not saying City didn't change their tactics. Yes, they did. But PSG taking a 1-0 at halftime made no sense. I thought it was ridiculous. And on top of that, the attitude from PSG players, you know, it's like when De Bruyne fouled, who was it? De Bruyne fouled someone in the midfield. And, like, all 7-8 guys run at the referee, wanted a red card. It was never a red card. Or Neymar.
Pereira.
Danilo. Yeah, and Pereira kicking the ball away, Neymar kicking Diaz. In the it was – they just fell apart in the second half. And I agree with you, Mathieu. You know, they're not out. No way, you know. PSG away from home in this Champions League. They scored 4 at Barca, 3 at Munich. So they can score away from home. But, I mean, that second half was really astonishing because it was not a professional performance, and it was topped off from a red card from Idrissa Gueye. That was just a horrible challenge on Gundogan. Yeah. So, I mean, I looking to the second leg, I still think PSG can go through, no question. But that second half was just too much for me. I think City will be more professional about it, and they'll be able to take it. And would I win or 0-0, whatever it is, they'll be able to go through. But Spencer, what are you thinking for that second leg?
I think if PSG played the way they did in the first half, they'll go through.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they'll be able to keep that level of performance up for 90 minutes because, as they show in the first leg, I don't know if they just got tired or Pochettino just had a terrible halftime talk, as you said. But
yeah,
I think they have the potential to go through, but I don't think they'll be able to finish it off.
Mathieu, you?
Hopefully, man. I believe in PSG. I believe 2-0.
What do you think is going to happen?
3-1.
3-1 PSG?
I think 3-1 or 2-0.
Okay.
I believe.
Dude, yeah.
I was pissed at Gueye, dude.
Yeah.
Like, what do you – that was so unnecessary. And you literally just killed your team off for the rest of the game.
Yeah, no, that made no sense. And again, the goals that PSG conceded were, I mean, the second goal, we've seen it too many times this season where the wall collapses. That was just unacceptable. But for the second leg, you know, when you have Mbappe and Neymar, there's still hope. And I think one thing that was a little bit also frustrating from a neutral was in, like, the 85th minute when Neymar would get the ball at the halfway line and try to dribble the whole City team. And it's like, dude, stop. It was a little bit annoying, I got to say. You know, he went past one or two guys, and then he kept going, and then he lost it. So, I don't know. I just think PSG don't have that professionalism or experience. And City don't really have it either in the semifinals of Champions League, but I think they have it more than PSG, I guess.
City did get to the finals last year, to be fair. So, they have made it through a semifinal before.
Or you mean PSG?
Yeah, PSG.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, we'll have to see where that goes. That's going to be a great game. Both games are going to be a great game. Maybe a little Eden Hazard hat trick in London. That'd be really nice.
Should we touch on the Europa League?
Yeah, of course.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I mean, yesterday, I'm in Rome right now. So the thing is, like, yesterday was crazy because My little brother got home from practice at Roma, and Rome had just scored the 2-1 goal. Ooh. You could hear, like, people in the street in other apartments, like, yelling. And you go into halftime, you're like, okay, Roma can do something here. Yeah, I texted you guys. I was like, I was super confident. I was like, yeah, Roma's slapping up Man United right now. And then Dude, the thing is, Roma was so unfortunate with injuries. Three injuries from the start. I mean, the thing is, like, the coach just needs to get fired. Like, if you're going to put players on the field, they can't get injured after 2 minutes with non-contact injuries. That means they're out of shape somehow. And they got unfortunate with that. And mentally, I think, and physically, this game showed the difference between the Serie A and the Premier League, where the Premier League is just physically such a superior league, and the mentality that the Roma players have and the experience that they have is so far behind what a typical Manchester United team has. And also just the class from Cavani and Bruno was remarkable. And so Man U is going through to the final, most probably, unless there's another remontada in Rome next week, which I
4-0.
Don't – I cannot see. And as for Villarreal, I think Arsenal got pretty lucky to come away with such a it's not a good result for them, but, I mean, in the circumstances, with the circumstance, I think it's a good result for them. But we'll have to – I think both teams can go through after the second leg.
Yeah, I mean, that Man U game, I was watching the Villarreal game, but looking at the updates in the scoreline, and I see Roma go up, and I turned it on, and I thought, oh, my God, you know, this is could really happen. And then it didn't, to say the least. And at 4-2, I thought Roma really should have just cashed it in and just taken the 4-2 loss. And they kept trying to go and try to get a goal, and that did not go well. Bruno Fernandes is just insane. To say the least, he's an unreal player. Edinson Cavani, who both of you said, don't think I forgot, that Man U shouldn't sign, has been unreal. Two goals, two assists, as you say. And, you know, Villarreal and Arsenal, we'll get to that in a second. I think either team is going to lose to Man United in the final. But it was an exceptional performance. And, I mean, look, Spencer, there's been a lot of talk about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, about Man United. You know, they're going to go to the final of the Europa League, second in the Premier League. Is this a good season? What are your thoughts overall?
I think it's undoubtedly a great season for Man United. I mean, if they end up winning a trophy and finishing second in the Prem, which both of those look very likely at the moment, then it will have shown clear progress, and they're advancing to they're in the Champions League again, which is really all you can ask for, because at the moment their squad isn't as good as City's squad. I think with one good transfer window, it can be as good as City's squad. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think the main thing for Man United is they've shown so much improvement, and I hate to say it, but one, they seem like they're on the same level as Man City this year. Maybe not quite there yet, but
yeah,
I think it's been an unbelievable season for Ole.
Quick question. If Man United wins, if they win the Europa League, that means fifth place in the Premier League goes to the Champions League, right?
No.
No?
There's no scenario where fifth in the Prem goes to the Champions League.
Oh, it's only for the FA Cup winner.
Spencer, explain to me the scenario you told me, though, about Chelsea. How does that work? Or is that already dead?
That would only happen if Chelsea and Arsenal win the Champions League and Europa League respectively, and then Liverpool or West Ham finishes fourth in the Prem, then fourth in the Prem won't make the Champions League, because there can only be a maximum of five teams from the same country in the Champions League.
Imagine. That would be interesting.
But as we'll get to, it
imagine
doesn't
West Ham getting
like
fourth
Arsenal
place.
Gonna withhold their side of the bargain.
Imagine West Ham gets fourth place and then they don't get
into
the
CL. That would be horrible. I would feel really bad for West Ham.
For Lingardinho.
Okay. So, yeah, let's go to Villarreal Arsenal. I was watching this game. I mean, Villarreal were dominant. Arsenal did not look good, to say the least. One thing that I've been seeing recently from Arsenal is this Granit Xhaka at left back, who I've tried to, you know, protect Arteta for a lot. He doesn't have good players to work with. But, I mean, there's just some decisions this season that don't make sense. That didn't make sense. Didn't make sense in this game either. Danny Ceballos was asked to play some defense, and which he cannot do. He's never been able to do. That didn't make sense. Of course, he got a red card, which is great. But Villarreal were way better. In Arsenal, they get, as you said, they got the one away goal. It wasn't a penalty. It's a ridiculous call. But they got the away goal. And they're going to go back to Arsenal. Only 1-0 win, and they go through. Spencer, what are your thoughts? Unai Emery got, you know, at the end of the day, Villarreal did win. Unai Emery, of course, the ex-Arsenal coach, whatever. What are your thoughts, Spencer? Who's going through in the second leg? What's it going to be like?
I think based off this performance, Arsenal are so lucky to be still within this tie. I mean, I think Villarreal up 2-0, Arsenal down to 10 men. The way Arsenal were playing, I think Villarreal should have been able to stick three or four or at the minimum held a clean sheet. But respect to Arsenal, they showed a little bit of fight, which is unusual for them. And they got a not terrible 2-1 result. And if they're able to beat Villarreal 1-0, they can go through, as you said. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think Arsenal don't have the quality, fight, tactics, or players to do it.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean,
so we're saying Man U, Villarreal.
Man U beating Villarreal in the final for me.
Look, Villarreal do have some great players. Of course, Unai Emery's Europa League genius. But, yeah, Man U will probably beat Villarreal. I don't see how they can.
Should I bet some money on Roma winning the return?
Or no? Like a dollar, maybe.
That would be crazy.
All right, well, that does wrap up Europa League. We do have a little bit of time. Do you guys want to go to, like, two leagues real quick?
Yeah, I think we can start with La Liga. Sure.
So, yeah, I think we have to go to La Liga, you're right. Since we've done La Liga, of course, there's been a lot of games. Of course, most importantly was El Clasico win for Real Madrid. We're not going to go over the game specifically, but it was a very, very exciting game, by the way, that last-minute crossbar. So much stuff. But as it stands right now, and Barcelona lost yesterday to Granada at home, going up 1-0, Granada fought back. Granada's a good team, but they've been in bad form recently, but they were able to get that win. So Atletico Madrid still stand top of the table. Everyone's played the same amount of games, by the way. And they have 73 points. Madrid second, 71. Barca third, also 71. And Sevilla, who I think we haven't given enough credit to, fourth place, 70. So one win, 3 points away. And they do play Madrid in a few weeks, and Barca play Atletico Madrid in a few weeks too. So, Matia, what are your thoughts? I mean, this is it's been changing the whole season. Who's going to win? Who's going to win? Who's in good form right now? Who do you have winner?
I mean, people. I remember saying like Sevilla was always in this title race. Not always, but like I remember saying that they would end up in the title race. And I mean, they haven't lost a game since like the Dortmund game in the Champions League, which so they're in incredible form, and they have a couple tough games to play. Of course, Villarreal, Valencia, Sevilla, Athletic Bilbao, and Madrid, Real Madrid. But I think Barca really missed out on a chance. I mean, we talked about we talked about Chelsea missing out on a chance against Real Madrid in the Champions League. That's what Barca did, I think, yesterday, the day before, against Granada. Those are the type of games where you need leadership from Messi, and he scored a great goal, but those are the type of games that you really need to step up and win, because that puts them in the clear by 1 point ahead of Atletico Madrid, and then you don't have to rely on teams ahead of you dropping points. But I think I don't see Atletico Madrid winning the La Liga this year, even though they're 2 points clear. I think it's going to be a fight between Real, Barca, and Sevilla.
And let me just throw in real quick that Real Madrid just has to tie on points with Atletico Madrid or Barcelona. And they win based off the tiebreaker between the clubs. But Spencer, what are your thoughts? I mean, this is super close. Did you have any sort of idea where this is going?
I mean, I think weirdly, Sevilla are in the best, I mean, not weirdly, but definitely Sevilla are in the best form. I mean, all three of the other clubs lost or tied their last game. But I think when it comes down to it, I don't know if Sevilla's going to be able to finish off the season.
Hard remaining schedule.
Yeah, very hard.
Yeah.
I'm not as sold on Atletico Madrid being out as Matia is. I think it could go to any of the two Madrid teams or Barcelona, but if I have to choose one, I think Real will be able to get it done for the second year in a row.
You know, it's hard because Atletico Madrid recently have not been good. You know, they lost to Sevilla, they tied Betis, and they played two of the worst teams in La Liga. They get two wins, okay? Then they go up against another good team in La Liga, they lose. And so it's hard for me to choose them. I mean, they struggle. I don't know if it's confidence or the playing style, whatever it is, against these big teams. And that Barcelona Atletico Madrid game is just going to be massive. And they play Sociedad the game after that, which is another big one. But of course, that's going to be the main remaining game in Sevilla Madrid as well. But you know, I would really like to take Real Madrid, as I think remaining fixtures wise, they have it okay. You know, Bilbao and Villarreal. Well, Granada and Sevilla. No, actually, to be honest, looking at that again, it's not very easy. But it's just the injury problems for Real Madrid. It just keeps happening week after week. Zidane is having to put out different back line and different midfield attack. It's just ridiculous. And so, in saying that, I really have no idea where this is going to go. I'll take Atletico Madrid just because they have the lead right now. That's the only reason why. Schedule. Yeah, and the schedule. That's the only reason why I'm taking Atletico Madrid. But I don't think any of these teams, any of the top four, are going to win out. I don't think that's possible. Someone's going to drop points. All of them, I think. So I'll take Atletico Madrid, but that's really just because they're first place. That's nothing to do with their performances of late. That's going to be crazy. So we'll definitely keep in touch with that. It's going to be super, super close. And I guess we'll shift over to League One, right? We'll do the other leagues in another episode. We'll go to League One because we've kind of been ignoring it at sometimes this season. But no question, we have a very close race. Matia, what are your thoughts? Where is this going to go?
I mean, I think it's similar. It's very similar to La Liga, I think. Of course, it's between four teams. Monaco hasn't been spoken enough about, just like Sevilla hasn't been spoken enough about. But they have a real chance secretly. But slowly but surely, they've been creeping up on that title chance. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to play out against Lille and PSG. And of course, for people or who followed a little bit, Lille managed to beat Lyon 3-2 after going down 2-0. Insane game. And that's just typical of Lyon's season this year. I mean, they tend to come out very well into games and even score and really play at the level of their competition even higher, especially in games with like PSG. But once they... at one point in the game, they always crack and they always, I don't know, it's been typical of Lyon to do those, to have those type of games. So I don't think Lyon in the long run in crunch time is going to come through. But Lille, I think, has a really big chance. And we always said, yeah, PSG is going to show their superiority. But PSG has been slipping up a little bit, quite a lot, actually, in League One. And it wouldn't surprise me if PSG, being distracted with the Champions League, having injuries and stuff like that, would actually lose this League One title to Lille in the end.
Yeah. I mean, that game was crazy, as you mentioned. Insane game. A lot of action. And the comeback, of course. But,
yeah,
you know, you touch on Monaco, who, let's not forget, they finished 2 points above relegation spot last year. Yeah. So what a turnaround that's been for them. I mean, they're not... we all know Monaco is a big team in France. But last year was a disaster. Now they're right back challenging for the title. It's a great turnaround for the club. But, I mean, I'm with you. I think PSG really is, you know, rather, you know, they might be out, whatever, but they're really going to focus on the Champions League this year. And so that has allowed them to slip up. And that game where they lost to Leo at home just a few weeks ago, that was huge. And so I'm not so sure PSG, and they can win out, of course. It doesn't matter if Leo win out, and Leo have a pretty good schedule remaining. And again, Monaco is right there.
And even if they tie on points, I think Leo still goes ahead because of head-to-head. Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'm going to take Leo to win. It's kind of crazy saying that. I've been taking PSG the whole season. I think it's probably the first time I've said I'm taking someone else, four games left. But I'm going to take Leo to win. Spencer, what are you thinking?
I'm also going to take Leo. I don't think PSG is going to win out. I think they're going to be somewhat distracted by the Champions League. Although, I feel that they're going to go out of the Champions League as well. So, I don't know how long they're going to be distracted by the Champions League for. But I just think Lille are going to be able to win out. And, I mean, for Lille, it's kind of like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for the club. Yeah. Because I think it's pretty clear that if PSG were healthy the entire season, they'd win the league with ease because their squad is just on a complete another level to everyone else in the league. But I hope and think that Leo will be able to get it done.
I think it all depends on Tim Weah's performances. If he's if he's good enough to warm the bench up and be a good water boy, I think Leo will really come through.
All right, so that does wrap up League One. Very close, along with Spain. I guess to finish this off, we can do some quick hits. You want to do some quick hits?
Quick hits?
So, okay, let's first one. Julian Nagelsmann going to Bayern Munich. Spencer, what are your thoughts? And real quick, in Germany, there have been, you know, articles, whatever, saying that there's a problem. There's a courage and winning mentality problem in Germany beyond Bayern Munich. Do you think that's true?
100%. I mean, I think nothing exemplifies it better than Leipzig being the second best team in the Bundesliga and Bayern taking their best player and their coach.
That's literally like Man U selling Bruno Fernandes to Man City.
Yeah, but
it's sad.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, I think it's undoubtable that there's a attitude or problem in the Bundesliga. And I mean, I don't understand if you're a Bundesliga team, why you don't just sell your players to another league. I mean, Leipzig could have sold Upamecano to anybody. Yeah. Liverpool wanted him. I'm sure Man United more, would have loved another center. Chelsea.
Many teams. Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't want to
pay
80
mil for Maguire?
A young French center back.
Right. Yeah. It's ridiculous. I
definitely would.
Well, so they got one. Yeah, they got one. It's a very good signing, by the way. But yeah, I 100% agree that it's kind of ridiculous at this point. You know, Leipzig have gotten a lot of hate in Germany just for who they are as a club, signing with Red Bull, all that years ago. But now, I mean, if you're finally, you know, I'd be willing to accept that, given you're going to be a contender. And, you know, then you give your best player and coach away. It really is ridiculous. And Dortmund have turned into an academy for these young kids to go through just to make money, sell them to Barca, Real Madrid, whoever else.
They might not even make Champions League this year.
So it's just becoming kind of ridiculous to me. And whatever, you know, Bayern win the Bundesliga again next season. But I guess, Spencer, from an American perspective, this is kind of cool because Jesse March is now going to be the coach of Leipzig. You happy for that, I guess?
Yeah, great preparation for him overtaking the U.S. job in 2023. So, of course, I'm happy.
He has it planned out.
I mean, look, a coach that has said his dream job is to manage the U.S., getting his first shot at a legitimate, not a world class, but what?
A top team, yeah.
Leipzig are a top team, and they have been for a few years.
I think they're world class. Mm. You could consider them world class.
Yeah, but
they met semifinals of the Champions League last year.
Regardless, it's an unbelievable opportunity for him, and maybe he'll bring some Americans along with him. Maybe Brendan Aronson might
sell that to Bayern.
Send some more Americans into Bayern. I love it. But I think, especially for Tyler Adams, who worked under Jesse March at the New York Red Bulls, I think it'll be good for his career as well. But yeah, I think it's great news for all American soccer fans.
Okay. And the last thing, and this is for you, Mateo, and this is not really a news topic per se, but this is kind of been a big headline in Italy, is AC Milan. I'm not even joking, I'm not trying to stab at you, but it's been quite interesting the way the season has gone. And, you know, Ibrahimovic resigned. What are your thoughts on that? And what are your thoughts on this as a season?
I don't care about Ibrahimovic resigning. I don't think we should have resigned him. Of course, you can say all you want. He changed the team, everything. But, hey, we won most of our points with him injured this season. I don't think Milan relied on him that much this season. You can point out stats. But, you know, we're a resilient team. It's just the problem. We're just not good. Like,
that's a problem.
We were winter champions, and in the span of 2 months, we went from first place to fifth, and we're fighting for Champions League now. And I think it's also a mentality. I don't know if you guys saw, but there was a picture of Donnarumma after the Lazio game, after a 3-0 loss to Lazio, which puts you out of a Champions League spot. Donnarumma goes over to Pepe Reina, and he's laughing and he's playing around. Yeah. And as a captain, that shows really. Shows what the locker room is thinking. And of course it's a young team, but it's really, really disappointing. They have a lot of tough games to play still. Juventus, Atalanta. I personally don't see them qualifying for the Champions League, I think. And it's sad for me to say, but hey, you know, I had them winning the title and maybe I jinxed it. Maybe I jinxed it, bro.
Well, yeah, that's the question. I don't want to get into Serie A top four as a whole, getting that next episode.
Yeah.
But quick, yes or no, Spencer and Mattia, and then I'll go last. Okay, Spencer, yes or no, does AC Milan make it into the top four?
No.
Mattia, thanks, bro.
I don't think so.
Not hard remains in too good a form. So is Atalanta, and I don't think Juve. I mean, Juve, if they don't make Champions League, like, dude, Ronaldo's gone.
Yeah, that's Ronaldo's gone. That top four is just going to be so tight between those four clubs.
I mean, Lazio still isn't out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's not bad.
And they have a game in hand.
Yep, game in hand. Yeah, that's right.
I definitely could see Milan slipping to sixth, maybe even seventh.
Well, that would be huge financially for them because, I mean, I've been reading that they're starting to get the numbers, you know, and financial stability back. And so getting this money boost, of course, would be huge. Be great. Yeah. They don't. It'd be hard to reinvest as much.
And it's going to make players like Donnarumma and Çalhanoğlu not want to resign.
Yeah.
I think so much of it is going to come down to the Juventus game on May.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the last game of the season, which is against Atalanta.
Well, I think they're going to be out of it by then.
Bro, Spencer's wild. Okay, buddy. Are you going to change it?
I remember your chats about the Liverpool Newcastle game, how you were celebrating Joe Willock's goal. I remember that.
Well, Spencer, I mean, are Liverpool making it?
But I don't think that was.
You guys deserve to lose that game, bro.
Well, look, we have like 3 minutes left, Spencer. We have plenty of time. They're gonna make top four. What do you think?
Sorry, you're cutting out. I can't really hear you.
We have a few minutes left. Okay.
Took you a minute, but honestly.
I don't think
we're gonna make top four, which sucks. But I think we messed up bad in the last two games, two late equalizers. I think it's pretty clear that if we're gonna make top four, we're gonna have to win out and pray that Chelsea.
Easy schedule though.
Collapse. At least. Except for Man United.
Oh, okay. Beyond that, at least.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't it be cool to see Liverpool and Milan in the final of the Europa League next year?
No. A lot of tension. Fallen Giants. Yeah, that would be pretty great.
Oh,
all right. Well, I think that does wrap up the episode for this week. We'll get to you guys next week, probably earlier on in the week. Great games this weekend, and we can't wait to see you guys in the next one. Thank you for listening.